So we are in the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs is best dealt with just by dealing with different themes that come along throughout the book. And so we are looking at anger today, and Proverbs has some funny verses in it, and one of them is related to anger, and it says this: "For as churning the milk produces butter, and as twisting the nose produces blood, so stirring up anger produces strife." Now, there are some things that result from other actions. I mean, this action is going to cause this action. And so he says, you know, if you churn milk, you're going to get butter. And if you twist the nose or punch the nose, you're going to get blood. And if you stir up anger, you're going to get strife. Now, I learned a long time ago that there are certain subjects I don't like to preach on, especially if it deals with sins of the Spirit or anything like that, because invariably when I preach on a subject, I am going to struggle in that area that week, if not the morning I'm preaching. I mean, it's just like you can count on it. It's like clockwork. And so last Monday, as I was getting ready to head off to camp board meeting in Floyd, Iowa, I did a good job of stirring up anger in my wife, and and we've had a week of more strife than peace. So, you know, it's just part of life, and you go through those times. But anyway, anger, how do you describe it, and how do you define anger? Well, anger is a passionate feeling that can result in either a active or passive response, but you respond to that feeling that you have, and it's to a wrong or a real or a perceived wrong that you feel. It might not be real, but you perceive it anyway, you feel it. Anger, however, is a God-given emotion. All of the emotions that we have, they're emotions that God enabled us to have. That's amoral. It's not wrong or right to feel any emotion. What's right or wrong is what you do with that emotion. And so just because you're angry, don't think, well, that's in itself sin. No, it's just an emotion. What you do with that anger or fear or whatever it is, what you do with it is what becomes right or wrong. And so we have to process that. We tend also to assume that the way we handle anger is the right way or the best way. And seldom is that the truth, but nonetheless, we all assume that the way we handle anger is the best way, and everyone should handle it just like we do. But the real question we should ask is it God's way? Does the way I handle anger please God? Now, the Anger Workbook by Les Carter and Frank Minerth, I studied that for a while some years ago, probably over a decade ago, and it teaches us that anger is usually not more about the other person and what they did, but anger is usually about me and how I'm responding to everything out there. And they describe anger as an intent to preserve personal worth, essential needs that we have, or a basic convictions in life. So we're trying to preserve that. So when we're angry, it's because we're weary of living without feeling valued, or having our basic needs met and noticed, or having our convictions validated and supported by the people around us. Now, sometimes it doesn't do any good to express anger in some situations, and so then we end up stuffing that anger and letting it come out at other people that we're not angry at, or about things that we're not angry about. so sometimes that's an inappropriate way to handle our anger, is when we don't address the situation because we've learned it just doesn't work to address it there. And so then we let it boil out in other places where it has no business boiling out. Now, one of the reasons that people get angry is because we feel like we are deprived of our God-given privilege of being able to choose for ourselves what we want to do when we want to do it. I was thinking this morning with a two-year-old in our house that is what two-year-old tantrums are all about. They're just learning that we don't actually have the freedom to do anything I want to do right when I want to do it. And so that whole year, that's what they're trying to learn. And they're fighting it with all of their might. Because they want their freedom to eat what they want, when they want to, and all of that kind of other stuff. And so that, you know, that's the anger that comes out in a two-year-old and all of that. Well, when we begin to feel controlled by people or circumstances, we begin to feel like we've lost our freedom and our choices, and we get angry. So that's one source of anger. Another one is that sometimes our lives have just totally become unmanageable. We've got too much on our plate, and we can no longer handle it. And so we need to make some changes in our life. Sometimes that means that we need to adjust our life. Sometimes that means that we need to adjust the way we respond to all the things out there in our life. Sometimes it means that we just need to learn to say no to some things. Anger is a sign that we need help navigating our lives and putting them back on a balanced track. So I said that anger is not necessarily wrong. There is a righteous anger and there is an unrighteous anger. There are things that we should be angry at. Jesus was angry at the money changers using the temple to make money instead of to worship God and to assist other people in the worship of God. He was angry at that. There is a righteous anger that should be angry about things like social injustice, violence, sexual abuse, physical abuse, racism, heresy, and all kinds of other evil things. But even our righteous anger needs to be expressed in a righteous manner. And that's where the evangelical church so often has goofed up. We have the righteous anger, but we don't demonstrate our anger in a way that pleases God a lot of times. And we have to be careful with that. We have to make sure that we're loving the person that we're confronting, or the evil, and loving the person behind all of that. Righteous anger is more concerned about God's glory than our own satisfaction in life. And the fact is that, you know, all sin comes down to pride. And if my anger is based on me getting what I want, that's sin. I want to live in such a way, and we all want to live in such a way that God gets what he wants. We want to live to please him. Now, Proverbs, unrighteous anger is anger that we've lost control of. And it results in unrighteous behavior and speech and damaged relationships. Unrighteous anger gives way to the devil. You've got the scripture up there from Ephesians 4:26. Now, Proverbs 15 says this: a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but who is patient calms a quarrel. An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. And then from Proverbs 24, do not say, I'll do to them as they have done to me. I'll pay them back for what they did. And so all of that is symbolic of anger that is not righteous. Unrighteous anger, again, is more concerned about me being content than about God being glorified. Unrighteous anger carries that element of pride of thinking that we deserve better than what we're getting, and that we're owed something. So how do you express anger? Well, we express it in a lot of different ways, and it can be expressed with explosive, aggressive behavior, or it can be expressed with passive rebellion and sabotage. One of the things that is really good for all of us to know, if you're married, you probably married somebody who expresses their anger completely different than you do, and that in itself makes you angry. So, just a fact of life. Listen to all these different ways of expressing anger. One can be just avoidance, blame, critical thoughts, depression or discouragement, frustration, grudges, being impatient, being insensitive, physical abuse, verbal abuse, rage, rudeness, sarcasm, tension, and just withdrawing. And there's all kinds of other ways, probably, too, that we can express our anger. Now, there's five basic common responses to anger. One is, and three of these don't resolve anger. But they're common. They're ways that, you know, we tend to express our anger or respond to our anger. One is by suppression. We just keep stuffing it down. Because we don't want to explode all over everything. You know, as a pastor, it's not real good to have a pastor that's just explosive. I grew up in a household that was kind of explosive. That's my natural tendency. You know, when I'm angry, I just want to explode. But that's not a real good trait to have in a pastor. And so you learn after a while to kind of suppress it. The problem with that is it doesn't resolve the anger. In fact, it just boils up underneath the pot till it's like a pressure cooker that just pops the lid off. And then it comes out at the wrong time, wrong place, in the wrong setting, in the wrong way, and all of that. So suppression of anger is just denial, you know. But it has kind of the effect of radon gas in the basement. You don't see it until it's already done its damage. Then there's the opposite extreme of that, and that is kind of open aggression. And that doesn't resolve anger either. It's kind of being insensitive to your face. Just letting other people have it. And then there's kind of this passive aggression, and that doesn't resolve anger either, but it's kind of this subtle sabotage. I'm going to get even with you. You just won't recognize it to start with. I'm going to do you in, but you won't see it for a while. I'm going to make you pay. You know, and so that it's just this very subtle sabotage where you get even, but you haven't exploded and you haven't done anything. Too much, too obvious. But underneath the surface, you have created a tidal wave. So, how can you resolve anger in a positive way? Well, there's two kinds. And one is just being assertive instead of aggressive. Trying to preserve your own personal wealth, protect your own needs, and your basic convictions and your freedom, while being considerate of the needs and the feelings of other people around you, and trying to balance that. And that's being assertive. That means that sometimes we have to talk things out before we blow them out. Another one that Jesus teaches us is that of just dropping it. And sometimes that means that you and I choose to forgive. Now, that works best when you're not dealing with an ongoing situation that is detrimental, seriously detrimental. But when you do something one time, and our culture has gotten really, really bad at this. We no longer have the ability to forgive one another for one-time incidents or a couple of things that happen, and we just lose it over the simplest of things. And we've got to have a little bit more grace and more freedom and more forgiveness in our culture again. And we of all people as Christians ought to be the people who model that the best in our culture. We have to be able to extend forgiveness to people, especially when it's not, you know, an ongoing problem. We just need to model some of that forgiveness that Jesus teaches. Now, how do we manage or handle anger wisely? Well, first of all, we have to bring it to God. Because anger is not something that's real easy to control. When you get angry, you feel justified in your anger, first of all, right? If you're angry, you know you're right. And you're justified in being angry. And then we also feel justified in the way we express our anger. We think the way we do it is the right way to express anger. Do you remember the book of James, where James tells us that no one can tame the tongue? It's a deadly, serious evil. And James is making the point, your tongue, you have to bring that to God. And, you know, anger is often related to the tongue. And so Proverbs would remind us that if we have an anger issue, we have to bring that to God, because he can fix some things that you and I cannot fix in our lives. An angry person, secondly, has to face consequences for their anger. If there's true hope for change, and Proverbs teaches us that. Proverbs 19:19 says, a hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you will have to do it again. If you just let anger fester in people and you just allow them to keep blowing up and there's no consequences for that, they're not going to stop. There has to be consequences. You know, consequences is what changes all of our behavior. And so if you allow angry outbursts or passive, subtle sabotage or expressions of anger to keep going on without addressing it, you're going to continue to have to deal with that. Proverbs 22, verses 24 through 25. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and become ensnared. We're also, as Proverbs tells us, if we diffuse anger in others, when we sense that someone's getting angry and we come in and kind of diffuse the situation and calm things down, that's wise. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And Proverbs 29, verse 8 says, mockers stir up the city, but a wise man turns away anger. Now, anger can be expressed assertively by prompt, positive behavior that seeks to find a solution to the problem. But you have to address those problems early if you're going to avert anger. A lot of times, for instance, in marriage, a lot of times we don't assertively address issues soon enough. And then 30 years later, because you haven't, you're embarrassed to address the issue, or you feel like you can't, and you know, things just get worse and worse because you didn't address things early on in marriage. And I would venture to say that every one of us knows that, has experienced that. So anger needs a lot, you know, if there's things that cause us to anger, we need to address them as early as we can assertively, kindly, because later on it just gets harder and harder to deal with anger in our lives. Max Lucado says anger is like a rock chip. Driving down the road, you get a rock chip in your windshield. If you don't take care of that rock chip, what happens? You get tributaries spreading across your whole windshield. Or you can go and get the rock chip fixed, and you've got your windshield pretty well intact and all of that. So the sooner we deal with the rock chips that fly at us in life, assertively, the better off we will be. Proverbs 28, verse 11 says, "Fools give full vent to their anger, to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end." Now, we also have to ask ourselves when we deal with anger, is anger in control of us, or are we in control of anger? Which way is it? Anger should never, ever be in the driver's seat of your life. That's when it gets in trouble. That's when it gets you in trouble, because anger will take you places you did not intend to steer the car. Anger will always do that. It will never take you to the desired end. And so we have to be careful with anger. We have to make sure that we are the one in control of the steering wheel, and that we're in control of anger, and that anger is not in control of us. A wise person is in control of themselves even when they're angry. Proverbs 16:32 says, "Better a patient man than a warrior. Better a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city." Now, Martin Luther said, "You may be moved, I know full well, and think you have just reason to be angry and to avenge yourself, but be careful not to do what anger tells you to do. For if we are led by anger, it will not let us do anything right." He says, you can't help yourself but to do wrong stuff if you're angry. Anger should be handled with a slow, thoughtful fuse. Proverbs 14 says this, "The wise fear the Lord and they shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed and yet feels secure. A quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes is hated. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly." Proverbs 17:27 says, "The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered." And then Proverbs 20, verse 3 says, "It is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel." And Proverbs 26 says, "Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife." Now, sometimes when you and I are angry, we need to just leave it in the hands of God and trust Him to handle the situation and make things right. Proverbs 20, verse 22 says, "Do not say, 'I'll pay you back for this wrong.' Wait for the Lord, He will avenge you." And there are some situations in life where we just need to take the back seat and put God in the driver's seat and say, "God, I can't fix this. I'm going to trust you to take care of that situation." Sometimes when we are angry, it's a matter of character to overlook it and just be the better person. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says, "A person's wisdom yields patience, and it is to one's glory to overlook an offense." Now, there's some lifestyle habits about reducing anger that I will close on today. That if we're going to manage anger effectively, we need to do all of these things. One is just balanced living that gets our personal needs met and resolves a lot of anger issues. If we're trying to, you know, if we've got too much just coming at us and our lives are completely out of balance, we're going to end up with some anger issues. Secondly, in our culture, If you are exposing yourself to too much social media and news, you're going to be an angry person. Because both of those two items feed anger. And sometimes you just need to back away from some of that. Thirdly, physical health is a powerful component of personal stability and anger management. And we're talking just making sure you're getting minerals, vitamins, nutrition, making sure you're getting some exercise. And all of that is a component of just health that will lead to better management of our emotions. A fourth one is humility and service. When you're serving other people and you're not the center of your own life, you can live without being preoccupied about yourself. You're probably going to be less angry. And you're probably going to be serving some people who have so many more needs that it makes you grateful and thankful. And so just humility and service can help us deal with anger a lot of times. And then learn to become assertive. Establish some boundaries. Communicate simple needs. Speak the truth in love. Stand up for your deep convictions without condemning other people. And then lastly, maintaining a daily relationship with God just makes life a whole lot less overwhelming. Spiritual vitality creates this inner stability in our lives. Maintaining a sense of God's worth, the worth that God has given to each one of us, and standing in that, knowing that who we are in Christ, it helps us handle life a lot better when others reject us or are rude to us or don't meet our basic needs. When we are at peace with God, we can handle so many things that the rock chips that fly at us in life, we can handle those so much better if we are at peace with God. You know, when rock chips come from our world or from work or from families or friends, we can handle that if we've got a better relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so with that, I just want to remind you today, not with just anger, but all of your emotions, honor, serve God, glorify Him in the way that you express those emotions that you have. Let's pray.